You were saying that the ladies had special clothes for Easter Sunday. Go ahead.
Bags to match the shoes, you know. Men had new suits and ties and shoes. Oh, that was a big thing Easter Sunday.
And did you have a special foods or something when you got home?
Oh, yes. There was ham. Ham for Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. That was always ham. Or turkey. Some mm-hmm. people had turkey. Because mm-hmm. ham was expensive at one time.
Let's go back to when you were a child. Did you ever hunt Easter eggs or have Easter eggs?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Tell me what you did to get ready for Easter when you were a kid.
Well, we've got my mother fixed some Easter eggs, and she got some kind of chips over at Miss Sharp that lived in back of it to make the eggs brown. And then she would take parsley leaves and dip them in wax and put them on the egg and dye some with onion peeling. Did you ever do that, red onion?
Yeah, I've seen it.
But those chips, I don't know what those were, but they made the prettiest eggs you wanted to see.
What color?
Brown.
Brown also?
Brown, yeah, reddish kind of red. They were pretty.
And what color were the ones from the onion peel?
Brownish. And then you could buy some with stripes around them mm-hmm. that the millers used to make, where they had an old sewing machine fixed up, and they would do them for 10 cents a dozen, boil them and stripe them for you. Silver, gold, beautiful. You never saw any?
Yes, I've seen them. What Miller family are we
Julius talking? Miller.
Julius Miller.
They used to have a bakery years ago.
And where was that located?
And where the Gene Caesar's real estate office is. I found a token the other day. One loaf of bread free at Miller's Bakery.
No kidding.
And my wife worked for them, yes. And some days when Mr. Miller didn't feel like baking, he'd get a load of butter crust.
He had days when he didn't feel like baking, huh? Okay. And you said they charged 10 cents a dozen.
10 cents a dozen to boil them and to paint them.
But who furnished the eggs?
You furnished the eggs.
I see.
You furnished it for their work, you know.
Uh-huh.
They charged 10 cents a dozen.
Holy. Were there dances on Easter?
Oh, yes, Easter. In our days, in the earlier days, Easter Monday.
Really?
Yes. My daddy said that was the day you had either dance, not Easter. That's when you partied at the houses.
Oh, no.
And Christmas, too. That's why they didn't have no dances instead of St. Stephen's Day, coffee stones.
So, then, in other words, then, let's say in your father's time, they spent the Easter Sunday and Christmas Day as a family day.
Right.
And then went out.
Easter Monday and the day after Christmas, they went out and had their dances.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Corpus Christi Day. How do you remember that as a child?
I remember that four of the oldest members of the church carried you know the name of the thing?
Canopy,
would that be right?
Yeah. Okay. Did it have four sticks
four
in it?
Four sticks and looked like a rooster. Yes, uh-huh. And the priest walked under there with the chalice or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they had a procession around the plaza, I think, in those days, didn't they? Yes, I thought so. In fact, that was a big thing. I was just imagining, let's get it over with. We're going fishing.
Can you describe the procession?
Well, all I knew, it was a big thing. We got to go to Mass Corpus Christi Day, today's carpenter, and that they had a procession around the square in front of the church, but that's all I remember.
You don't remember the girls dressing special or anything?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Sure don't.
Okay. Did they have
devotion is when the girls threw flowers, you know.
All right. Okay, would you tell me about that?
The little girls had bows and little white dresses, and they threw flowers in front of the priest when they had May procession. That's what the only thing I don't remember, but.
Well, when did they have the altars placed at different places around the plaza and
I don't know. That is that. That's stage. That's Good Friday.
Do you ever remember going in a procession like that?
Yes.
Was that Corpus Christi? Yeah.
Yes. They used to have one at the old drugstore and one at the Morty House. I think there were Welsh's Places antique shop. I think there used to be one there.
Mm-hmm.
There were two or three altars, but that, I'd have never thought about that.
Did they have one at the at Moy?
Yes, I think Moy.
The old convent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they had one.
Excuse me.
I was a mass server in those days, but I just don't remember.
Did they have one? Do you remember them having one at Rosalie Youngman's house next to the bank?
I don't remember. I remember the one at the drugstore. I'm pretty sure they had one at the old drugstore, which is Dr. Eckert's house now across from the drugstore.
Across the street?
Yeah.
Okay. Were there hers?
No, in front of Sarah's house. Oh, yes. It's Sarah with the Palm Beach coat on. Oh, is that a real life one? No. This was the old drugstore in front of Sears. It was the original Burnton drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
There, I think, was one, if I remember correctly.
Okay. But you remember more of the flower girls and that type of
and
thing on
May Devotion.
You said the little girls wore white dresses,
mm-hmm.
and skirts.
Had baskets full of fresh flowers.
Okay. Was the bishop ever here on any of those days? Do you recall?
Just the only time I remember the bishop comes is for confirmation. That's all.
Uh huh. In other words, the processions you remember are the Corpus Christi and the May Day.
Yeah.
How about to the Cross Hill and All Souls, All Saints?
They go to the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and have a mass up there at 5:00 in the evening. And during May, they go up there, used to pray for the crops and go to the cross hill and pray the rosary up and back.
And what was that called?
Rogation days.
How many days did they do this?
Did they do it every week, once a week in May, I think it was, for the crops? I don't remember. I was in those processions, I remember that, but I just don't know for sure.
Okay. So as far as you can recall, you don't ever remember the bishop coming for anything but for confirmation?
Right.
Okay. And how often was this done?
About once every 4 years, I think, I'd have confirmation, or every 3 years.
Wait
till they have a good class.
Yeah, I think that's the answer. It depended on the number of children.
Right.
Right, okay. All Souls and All Saints Day is a church day that was very much celebrated. Did you ever participate in decorating the graves?
Yes, and also All Saints, All Souls Day. Yes, we always did decorate our graves.
How did you go about doing this? Did you have a special place to get flowers?
Yes, we did. We had a special place. We got fresh flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Some years we do, some years we put the artificial
mm-hmm.
flowers
mm-hmm.
up. And it's quite a chore, because, well, not on my wife has a pretty nice sized family, big family.
Do you try to put something on all of your relatives?
All of
us.
Right.
Okay. Did the rosary play a big part in your home life or not? Did you pray the rosary a lot?
We did, but not often, maybe once a week or so.
Yeah, okay. How about St. Nicholas Day? Was that anything special,
St. Nicholas Day? Oh, yes, that was special to hang up your stocking, get a few apples and oranges and candy. No toy in those days. Now they get a little toy in there or something.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea where this St. Nicholas custom came from? Why this was done?
No, I don't. I read it several times, but I don't know where it came from.
But as
from.
Far as you hearing it around here, why you did this, you don't know.
No,
Okay. You don't hear the Angelus bell rung anymore.
No.
What did that mean to you when you heard that bell ring?
Well, you were supposed to pray when the Angelus bell started ringing. What were you going to? What were you supposed to pray? Your mealtime prayer, or what was it? I don't even remember.
I think it rang in the morning at noon and in the evening.
Right, and you were supposed to pray. And then there was a time of the year where the bells kept ringing for how many? So long, and you had to say three rosaries or four rosaries. And a whole block of the family families would get together in one house and they'd pray the rosary, and the bells would keep ringing. What is that?
That's the first time I've heard this.
I don't know if it's still done in that often. If they still do it or not, but you know, the bells would start ringing at 6:30 and they would ring for an hour and a half, an hour, and people would get together in one block and say the rosary.
Did this happen just once in a while, or?
Once a year.
Once a year.
What was the occasion? I don't know. It was before
some holy day?
Some holy day, and I can't remember what it was. Now, black, a guy like that could tell you right quick.
Well, now, see, this is the first time I heard that.
Yeah.
So I can't answer you, and
right.
I should know, but
right.
I can't answer
no.
the question. I understand they used to ring the bells too at a death.
Yes, they tolled the dead bell.
Was there anything that distinguished who the person was by the sound of the bell?
Well, it would be if it was a child, it was a heavier bell. I mean, a heavier toll was a lighter toll, and a grown person was a heavier toll, a bigger bell.
Different sound.
Sound, yes, mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, so then by the sound of it, you knew.
You knew it was a child or an adult.
Okay. Tell me about solemn communion. What did you have to go through in preparation? By this, I mean your schooling, your instructions, and then finally the day of the communion.
Of the solemn communion, mm-hmm. You didn't go near a moving picture or a dance or nothing like that. You stayed away from everything for 1 year.
All right.
Not even close. And, well, you weren't allowed to do anything. In the last week of solemn communion, when I was a kid and watched the older ones at the old school across where the boy has their music hall down there, the boys were sitting on one side of the fence and the girls on the other, and they weren't allowed to talk for the last 2 days to anyone. Mm-hmm. Just read the catechism mm-hmm. and get their prayers for the communion. I'll never forget, I can see them sitting in the pomegranate bushes, and we'd look out the window. Two would talk to each other, that's all, not get in contact with anyone else.
Uh-huh. Well, did you have to take instructions of any special type of instructions?
Yes, by the priest. The priest gave instructions the last 3 months three times a week, I think mm-hmm. it was.
Okay. All right, so then you'd had all this preparation for a whole year, and then you said you couldn't talk the last day or two to anyone but maybe a friend. What about fasting?
No, not that I remember that we had to fast.
You didn't have to do without water or
no,
food?
No, uh-uh.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, some of the people, older people, told me that you couldn't even have a drink of water until after the communion ceremony was completed. Yeah. But you don't remember that?
No,
okay.
Uh-uh.
Well, then the day of the communion, it's the day of the communion. Where did you go that morning and how were you dressed?
You were dressed in a suit with the white little boutonniere in your coat pocket or in your lapel, and had a candle. We still got our candle holders up
there.
Yeah, and a white ribbon on the candle holder. And then after that, there was a big celebration at the house.
At your home.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you went, oh, did you go directly to church when you went to make your, then have this for this special day?
No, you met at the schoolhouse, and I think you went in procession over to church from the St. Louis side, it's in, and the people met you and went over to church in a procession. The girls were dressed like a bride in veils and a white dress, yes.
Okay, and did you feel like this was a special day for you as a child?
Yes, you were big stuff. Had on a hat even.
Oh, and after all the ceremony was over, you just said you came home and you had a big celebration at your home.
Mm-hmm.
What happened at the celebration? What did that consist of?
Just like a wedding party.
Is that right?
Right. We had all kinds of food and beer and soda water, ice cream even sometimes, everything to go with it. And the kids would get a lot of money. I know Helen had it, I don't know, quite a bit, and she got, in our days, well, $40 is a lot of money.
Yes.
A lot of people brought different stuff instead of money.
So it was something you looked forward
right,
to.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. You said that the bishop came for, well, just occasionally for confirmation. Was this as important as the communion day, the confirmation?
Not really. I don't think so.
It was just church rule, more or less.
Church rule, more or less, and you had to find a sponsor.
Uh-huh.
And I never knew what they called my grandpa, man. Everybody called him Godfather when they passed him. And I found out where he was, I don't know, Godfather for how many in confirmation. Oh, you know, he'd walk up with one another and stop and be my prayer. God sponsor, he'd walk up with another one.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I never knew why they called him Father.
Father, what does that mean?
Godfather.
Yeah. Okay. Did you make just one communion and that was it, or did you make two?
No, you made your first communion when you were 7. And then you made your Psalm communion when you was 12.
All right.
And the children from the outlying places had to come here to make their communion. Like my good friend Joe Billhart from down at Pearsall had to come up here and stay with his grandpa Steinle right across there from Mr. James owns the old rock house on the corner. That's where Mr. Steinley lived, and the Pearsall, the girls, Billard's girls, Joe and Monona and Hortense, Marcella, they all had to come up for 1 year to go to Catholic school 1 year so they could make their Psalm communion.
They evidently attended a public school where they lived.
In Pearsall, and they belonged to this parish here. I never could understand it.
This was customary then from the rural children, for the rural
right,
children.
Right, if you belonged to this church, the year you made your communion, you had to move to Castleville to come, like Clinton Xavier and them stated, Miss Corms. They were kin to Miss Corm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now we don't have the two communions anymore.
Just one and that's it.
Well, and I think earlier they only had one also, but it was when you were older.
Older, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now the children are about what age do you think about when they...
7, about first year of school,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. Okay, let's touch a little bit on births and baptisms. Do you think that the baptisms were held sooner, say 30 or 40 years ago, than they are now, or do you see any difference there? I mean, right, sooner after the baby was born.
I think they were sooner in those days than mm-hmm. they are now.
About how old do you think
the child was? I think when the child was, a week old or so, right. They were baptized, I think.
Do you see any reason for that? The change,
no.
The difference?
I don't.
You don't think maybe it was because that there were more deaths, more children died in those days when they were born?
Could be. I don't know, really. I wouldn't know why there was...
Was there a fear of the child not going to heaven if they weren't baptized?
Yes, right. So true, they were.
Okay. Do you know of any... Did your family have a baptismal dress that was passed down through the generations in the family? Do you remember?
I think we found my cap.
Oh?
Lay's cap, but I don't know where it's at. I think Corrine said, this looks like your cap.
Uh-huh. Well, that was, I suppose, a little bit 20 years maybe before your time where this was really, you know, a big thing. And I was wondering if you still had one in your family maybe. Okay. Now, you said you were, I'm going to touch on a couple of things and then kind of sum up and on these things, and then I want to ask you about your life as a grocer and a baker, okay? But I want to ask a couple of more other things. You said you were a mass servant. You're the first man I've interviewed. Tell me what happened when you were a mass servant. What did you have to do?
First, you had to go to school by the nuns to teach you the Latin prayers, which were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And today I can know one. And you had to know them, when to use them, when the priest would say his part and you would have to answer him in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And you had teachers, my teachers were Clark Tondry was one of my teachers and Blackie Shearhart. They were the older ones finishing school, and we were starting.
Mm-hmm.
And they were your teachers. You had to serve with them. And I served for Father Hackman, and I don't know, he said something I didn't like one morning, and I didn't answer him the Latin prayers, and he run me off of the altar in the middle of the mass.
Did this embarrass you?
No, not me. And I had to go back and apologize, and he took me back. But those days, you went to serve mass. And if you didn't serve, I didn't go. You saw you had somebody and paid them 50 cents to go in your place.
How often did you have to do this?
You were on every so many weeks. It all depended how many servers were there.
Mm-hmm.
And during the summer, well, Father would, if he'd have a funeral, he'd call the ones here in town. They were the closest ones around.
Mm-hmm.
And most time, those days, children didn't serve out of town. It was too hard for them to come to Mass during the week. Because
mm-hmm.
we had to serve a whole week from one Sunday to the next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one would start that Sunday. Another two, and there was always two.
Did this mean that you did... served at all the masses, or did you rotate the masses?
Now that I don't remember either anymore, but you had to serve on Sundays with one mass, either the where you started the one week and then the next week where you finished, but I don't remember which masses anymore.
Uh-huh. At what age did you start and what age did you stop?
I started when I was in the second grade, and I think I stopped just about 2 years before I stopped to quit school, about the eighth grade.
So you did this about eight years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And enjoyed it. Did a many a wedding, only should have kept a diary of who the people were, you know, that you that got married.
Yeah, that would have been
something
really
like
special, right. Did you enjoy being a master?
Yes, uh-huh.
Good. Okay. Do you think a lot of the traditions and the things we've talked about were nurtured by the church, more or less? Did your lifestyle, say 40, 50 years ago, revolve pretty much around church and church activities?
Yes, that it was a must.
it was a must. Mm-hmm. So not only social, but religion, social, right. Everything.
Right.
Okay, did you marry Catholic, right?
Right.
And did you ever know any couples or any prejudice when a Catholic boy married a Lutheran girl? Was that any problem there?
Early days it was, but it faded, I mean.
Much more tolerant.
Right.
When you say early days,
in the 20s, in the 30s, maybe around in there, you know.
When you were young.
When we were now, when we were getting married, those days.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel uneasy, or were you told not to go into a church of another religion?
No.
Okay. So what we have established that some of the traditions have changed, and that the church influenced the social life and the community life a great deal. We also know that the church laws and everything have eased a whole lot. Do you think that this is good or bad?
I think it's good.
Would you tell me why?
Well, there's maybe more people joining the church because the church laws are these.
You feel like they feel more like
going
to church.
Right.
It's easier to do.
Right.
Church is more understanding.
Right.
Okay. Okay, now, I know that you said you worked in grocery stores when you were young. Just a child, a young boy. How long did you do that? How many years? And what places did you work?
I worked for Blackie Sheehart, which was Ed A. Sheehart's son. That's the only job I ever had until he sold out in 1945 to Frank Keller, his brother-in-law. And I worked for him till 1948. 3 years, then I went and partnered with Stanley Havey, and we had a bakery and grocery store where the Gene Cease's real estate office.
Oh.
And we had a brick oven there, there were no gas, just when Mr. Havey all the wood every week a load in an old truck. And we started to work every morning, and from 2:30 on, we started the bakery.
Did you know anything about baking bread before you went over there?
No, and I never wrote anything down. I wish I would, but I do remember some of it. I think I can bake a loaf of bread. I did only fry the donuts and ice the coffee cake and stuff like that.
And he did most of the bread baking?
Right.
Okay, and you say you started at
2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning every morning.
Well, when did your work day end then? Was this all you had? Was it bakery?
No, we had a grocery store and feed, cow feed, chicken feed, everything with it. And, we didn't close. We closed at 6 in the evening. Saturdays we were open till 9.
Well, did you rotate your shifts or something to be able to handle that many hours?
No, we both stayed there. We went home an hour in the afternoon for lunch.
You worked about 16 or 18 hours.
Right.
Every day.
Right.
What about Sunday?
Sunday we were closed.
God, you were lucky.
Well, I had worked all my young life before that, and Corrine too. When Corrine worked in the bakery, when Mr. Grease bought out Julius Miller, Corrine was the only one he had. And she'd go to work at 6 in the morning and work till 3 in the afternoon. He'd let her go home till 4. We'd ride back till 9 every night, and she kept the books here for $7 a week. And when she went, they were a penny off at night, she'd say he'd sit there and they'd find that penny. And then he started getting bigger and bigger, where they had homemade ice cream, and the girls, you remember when the girls turned the ice cream themselves.
I remember eating homemade ice cream.
Well, they had three freezers. They got to where they had to, people were coming out from San Diego for homemade ice cream. Three freezers.
And they made the girls?
They, the girls made it. But that was the only strike we ever had in Castroville, was when my wife and Lloyd Green's wife, rest her soul, she's gone now, Madeline Harbinger, sat down on Old Man Grease and they wouldn't move no more. Because they wanted off every other Sunday, one of them, because they were on every Sunday, every day in the week. And he didn't know any better. So they just sat down. That was the only strike we ever had in Castroville.
That is cute.
And finally, then they got over every other Sunday. And we were still going together.
Now, you said she worked in the bakery for Mr. Grease. Was this bakery located?
Where Gene Caesar's
Street. And that's the one that Mr. Miller had
in Stanley Haven. Then Haven, Maine.
Well, this Mr. Grease.
And he had a cafe with the bakery, Mr. Grease.
Okay.
And, he couldn't, the highway went through there in those days. That was Highway 9. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And you heard the story where the old gentleman couldn't wait in the morning to open up, and he would open the doors. Finally, the truckers would stop. Corrine would walk down there in the cold in the morning, well, it was dark, but he didn't worry in the morning, so she'd come there one morning and the oatmeal was sitting on the counter. Did you ever hear that story? And the milk and the sugar. And she said, how come you're open? Well, they're stopping and I opened the door and I let them in. I don't know what this guy went and he's not eating this. He says, no, you don't eat, you gotta cook the oatmeal. He thought he eat it like post toast.
Where did Mr. Grease come from?
I don't know.
The name is not a familiar Castroville name.
No, he was a truck farmer in Valley Wells, down here by, what is, on your way to Eagle Pass, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And, would you believe, and I'd like to meet the young man, his grandson, Matty met his grandson somewhere at a dance in San Antonio.
I'll be.
Yeah, and she was down there, her aunt, or her sister-in-law.
Yours.